You are listening to a UNC Kidney Center podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Falk, the director of the UNC Kidney Center. Our goal is to help you better understand your kidney disease. We have today here a patient who's interested in learning more about kidney disease, and in particular, membranous nephropathy. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Dr. Falk.
Shall we begin?
Yes, here is my first question for you. I've just been diagnosed with membranous nephropathy. What is it? How do you spell it?
Membranous nephropathy is a membrane, the membrane that's found in the small filters of your kidney. Each one of these filters is called a glomerulus, and these glomeruli filter blood, getting rid of toxins and water. The membrane, which acts like a filter, is a small bit of tissue across which toxins and water escape the blood and get into the urine. So membranous nephropathy is a disease process which affects that very thin membrane and causes what in general is known as a glomerulonephritis, or inflammation of those tiny filters. You have about 1.4 million filters in both kidneys, 1.4 million glomeruli, and many, many thin membranes that are part of all of those glomeruli. So membranous nephropathy then is damage to that glomerular basement membrane. And what it really is are tiny little immune deposits, deposits of an antibody that somehow is lodged along that membrane. And just like in a car, when a membrane is full of debris, it clogs up and doesn't function well. And so membranous nephropathy then is the disruption or alteration of that membrane, making it so your glomeruli don't filter well. In fact, what happens is that blood and protein leak from the bloodstream into the urine, and that's how you actually can detect abnormalities or alterations in any kind of disease that hurts these little filters called glomeruli.
How did I get this disease?
Oh, if I could only tell you, like all the other glomerular diseases that I can't tell you the cause of. Membranous nephropathy is one of these glomerular diseases that we really don't know the cause of. It can be caused by some drugs. It can be caused in older individuals, and by older, anybody who's older than we are. Certainly people who are older than 55 or 60. Cancers in that population can cause membranous nephropathy. There are many autoimmune diseases. For example, patients with lupus can get membranous nephropathy. But what is called idiopathic, and in medicine when we use the term idiopathic, it means we don't know. Idiopathic membranous nephropathy, for some reason, your body makes an antibody, an autoimmune reaction, to either a protein that's deposited along those membranes or to actually a structure within the glomerular basement membrane itself. And the real question then is, what causes this antibody to form in the first place? And unfortunately, we don't know. But what is important to note is that there's nothing that you did that caused this disease. If there were, we would know how to get rid of that cause, and we'd know how to cure this disease. So, unfortunately, in the vast majority of people, we just still don't know.
So, what kind of symptoms might I experience?
Well, many of the symptoms that you already have. That is, when you leak protein into the urine, as a consequence of that loss of protein into the urine, the amount of protein in the blood decreases. So the serum albumin, which is the most common blood protein, goes down. And protein in the blood acts like a sponge holding fluid in the vessel wall, and actually in the vessel itself. When that sponge has decreased or is gotten smaller, that is, the amount of protein in the blood has decreased, fluid leaks out of the vessel wall into your legs, into your feet, sometimes up higher into your abdomen, or when you lie flat in the morning and get up, you may have big puffy eyes from fluid that has migrated from your lower extremities up into your back or into your eyes. So edema or fluid retention is a very common manifestation of this disease. In some patients, membranous nephropathy causes high blood pressure, and that may be a symptom that you'll find as well, or at least a sign that your physician will tell you about. But the other common consequence of this is another laboratory test, and that is as you leak protein into your urine, your liver tries to make more protein, and it also turns out that it makes more cholesterol. So patients with membranous nephropathy with a lot of protein in their urine have a high cholesterol, have a low serum or blood albumin level, have fluid in their legs or edema. Peripheral edema means it's in your legs, and a high serum cholesterol. And those four features together are part of what's called the nephrotic syndrome that many patients with membranous nephropathy have.
So how will this be treated? You know, what kind of medicines will I be taking?
Happily, some patients with this disease, especially women, the disease process goes away by itself. That's wonderfully fun when it happens. And about a third of patients, the disease has a spontaneous remission. In one-third of patients, the disease process grumbles along. And finally, in about another third of patients, the disease has a more progressive course. But this is a long-term disease. It's a chronic disease in some patients. So one has to match the extent of treatment with the severity of the disease. So many patients, all that is required are blood pressure medicines that help decrease the protein in the urine and help preserve kidney function. And there are two groups of these types of blood pressure medicines. One is called an angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor or an ACE inhibitor. All of these have the name pril at the end, enalapril or minazepril. Which one of those drugs doesn't make that much difference. They're all about the same. They certainly work in this disease to lower the amount of proteinuria. And then there are another group of blood pressure drugs called angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs. They similarly can help preserve kidney function and decrease proteinuria. That's absolutely the first step in treatment. Now, in some patients with more severe disease, we use the age-old medicine of prednisone or other kinds of glucocorticoids, solumedrol, for example, but most commonly prednisone, in combination with more substantial kinds of immunosuppression called cyclophosphamide, for example. Another way of treating this disorder is to use a drug called cyclosporin. Your doctor will have to help you figure out whether or not you need this more potent immunosuppressive drug, cyclosporin or prednisone and cyclophosphamide. Hopefully, blood pressure control will do a lot to help your disease.
You mentioned that there are three groups. Is there any way to tell which group you're in as a patient, whether yours might be the one that goes away spontaneously or lasts a long time?
After 3 or 4 years of having the disease and the disease going away, you know that you're in the group that did very well. But that's not a good answer for today. On the time of diagnosis, the question is, are you in the group of patients that's going to do well, or are you in a group of patients who are going to do less well? And there are certain features that help us answer that question. Women do better than men. Women do better than men in a lot of ways, but in this circumstance as well. If your blood pressure is low, you'll do better. If your kidney function is normal at the time of diagnosis, you do better. If, in fact, you have less than 6 grams of protein, which is a lot of protein for more than 6 months, in fact, your chances of doing well diminish somewhat. So, in general, women with minimal amounts of protein, maybe 1 or 2,000 milligrams or 1 to 2 grams a day, who have normal kidney function and who have normal blood pressure, they do very well as a group. In contrast, males with lots and lots of proteinuria, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 grams a day, some degree of kidney dysfunction already, and high blood pressure, that group of patients just is not going to do as well.
So will this disease go away? Will I get better, even if I'm not one of those people in the spontaneous remission group?
A whole group of patients who don't have complete remission actually have partial remissions. That is, their proteinuria gets better, their kidney function gets better, their cholesterol goes down, and the disease grumbles along. And the disease can grumble along for decades, in fact, and patients do remarkably well. It's the group of patients who have persistently high amounts of protein in their urine and develop kidney damage that leads to abnormal kidney function. They're the ones who need more aggressive therapy.
So would one option be a kidney transplant?
If your kidney function deteriorates and you end up needing kidney replacement therapy, then a kidney transplant is perfectly acceptable. As a matter of fact, it is the treatment of choice for this kind of kidney disease as well as for most kinds of kidney diseases that lead to kidney failure. Do you have other questions for me?
I think not. This has been very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
It has been my pleasure. Thanks so much for listening.